Welcome back to part two of this webinar, Getting God's Help When You Need It Most Urgently. The problem that you're dealing with is a very discouraging one. Because when you're trying to deal with a personal crisis or trauma, and you need God's help, but you can't find Him, that gives birth to a great deal of heartfelt misery and confusion and discouragement, probably even mild panic or even despair. I experienced that 39 years ago when I was in a crisis situation and couldn't find God. I know exactly what it's like. So these negative emotions that we have at such a time hurt not just yourself. They can hurt members of your immediate family, your good friends. So there are consequences to this kind of very, very discouraging experience. So be assured that I am with you totally. As I say, have experienced this myself and know exactly what you're going through, what it's like. Let's now go to the very, very good news, which is the two steps to restoring that good relationship, lasting relationship and friendship with the Lord, so that you can continue on your journey with great hope and faith and enthusiasm in the Lord with Him once again. Remember, I said that I was going to share with you my bottom line message to all Christian women? It's simply this. I want you to listen to it very carefully. It's very important that you hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it. When you are experiencing a crisis or trauma of any kind, and at the same time you can't find God, but you need His help urgently, you do not need more Bible studies, more sermons, listening to more of your favorite CDs, more advice from your trusted friends, or even more prayer groups. You'll be surprised to hear me say that. I know. But here's the thing. Although those things that I have just mentioned are all critical parts of your relationship and journey with the Lord, they will not help you right now, not at this point. What you need now in this very discouraging situation are three things, and three things only. Once you have got a good handle on these three things, then of course you must return to your Bible studies, your prayer groups, possibly advice from trusted friends, sermons, CDs, etc., etc. But not right now. So here are the three things that I believe, and I've experienced this over many, many years, and I have received an intensive training in Christian spiritual formation. So my training and my work over 26 years with women of all Christian denominations has convinced me totally of this. What you need now, and that will move the dial for you, are three things and only three things. You need a way to reconnect to God. You need to build trust so that you can have an ongoing conversation, a lifelong conversation with the Lord. And you need some form of ongoing spiritual guidance. This website has been designed by me. A Clear Path to God has been designed by me to provide such ongoing guidance. Now, I know that that's not the perfect way to get guidance, to receive guidance when you're going through a crisis. It's much better that you can connect personally to a guide who has been recommended and whom you really know has integrity and trustworthiness. That's very important when you're choosing a spiritual guide. You can read more about that on my website. So let's look at these 2 steps, this way that will guide you into an actual experience of God's presence and His love. You see, once you know how to enter into God's direct presence, as night follows day, you will automatically also experience His love for you and the peace He has waiting for you. So in His presence, abide these 2 gifts for you, His love and His peace. And it's His love and it's peace and His peace that bring you the reassurance and the healing and the trust in God and the restoration to a solid, lasting relationship and friendship with Him that you need urgently. So let's go into these 2 steps. And I must remind you or let you know for the first time, depending on whether you are a reader, a regular reader of my articles, or whether you're somebody new just listening to me for the first time. I do have a guide, a free guide for you on my website, which you can get at any time. And that goes in far greater detail into these 2 simple steps that I'm going to teach you now. I'm going to break these down into 2 times, 2 days, if you like. The day before you begin these 2 steps is not a day to have quarrels and strife. It's a day to try to relax and be as quiet as you can. I know that life throws up unexpected difficulties and issues, but try to avoid those at least for the day before you start to pray in the way I'm going to teach you. The night before you start to pray in this way, just before you go to bed, choose a short, really short, favorite piece of scripture that means something to you already, and read it slowly. Read it slowly, twice. If a word or a few words jump out at you, take a pen and paper and make a note just of these words in this verse, short verse and verses. Remember, nothing long, just a short favorite gospel story or Old Testament passage that you already know and that has already appealed to you. So that's the night before. Now, on the actual day, again, before you actually go into this way of prayer, choose a way of relaxing. Take 15, 20 minutes to really quiet down and to relax. And I should say too that the day before, it's a good idea to alert family and friends and work colleagues that you do not want to be disturbed during your time of prayer by phone or email or anything else. That's something you should do. Otherwise, you will be disturbed by phone calls and other interferences, distractions. So let them know a day or two ahead that you don't want to be disturbed at this special time. On the actual day, you are going to, as I say, relax for 15 minutes using a piece of music that appeals to you, that's relaxing. You can light a candle and sit quietly for a few minutes. You can go for a quiet walk in nature. You can even have a warm bath for 15 minutes. Anything that you know relaxes you. Once you have done this, you then choose the time. You decide on the time you're going to spend with God in prayer, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, definitely not more than 20. And as a beginner, I would say just 5 to 10 minutes. You want to get into the habit of doing this, and you don't want to be put off by a long time of prayer to begin with. 5 to 10 minutes is good. As you grow in this way of prayer, you can extend the time to 20 minutes, but no more than 20 minutes. The next thing you're going to do is to choose a sacred word. This is very, very important, because when thoughts come and bombard you, you return to your sacred word as a way to anchor you back to the quiet. Then you decide how many minutes you're going to spend. Once you have decided on whether it's 5 or 10 or whatever, stick to this time. Do not change the time in your time of actual prayer. Choose this time and have a timer ready to set to the number of minutes you have chosen. And then the goal of this prayer is to put you in the direct presence of Jesus, for the reason I've explained, so that you can experience his love for you, not for somebody else, for you, and the peace he wants you, not somebody else, to have. That is the goal. And in order to do that, we have to learn to let go of all thoughts and feelings and images. This is not the time to wander off thinking about what you're going to cook for dinner tonight, or how many clothes you've got to take to the cleaners, to the dry cleaners, etc., etc. You want to be free of thoughts. Now, thoughts are going to bombard you one way or the other. There's no such thing as being able to empty your mind, although some people say that you can. You really can't. So thoughts will bombard you. It's part of your human nature. And that is why the sacred word that you've chosen beforehand is so important. Choose a simple word like Jesus, love, peace, Maranatha, which means come, Lord. Something simple, and stick to it. Don't change this sacred word once you've begun these few minutes of prayer. And the next thing you do is to choose a short passage of scripture that has already appealed to you, perhaps a gospel story. Read it slowly twice and jot down very briefly, 3 to 5 words max, on any word in that passage of scripture that's come to you. Then you're going to close your Bible immediately. You're not going to open it again. You're going to set your timer for the time you've already decided on, and you're going to enter into God's presence. You are going to be like a small child resting in total trust, total comfort, total relaxation, total peace in your mother's arms. You are going to be resting in the arms of Jesus. And the arms of your father. And what do fathers do for children? They take care of them. They cuddle them. They embrace them in their love. They reassure them that is who you're going to be before God for these next few minutes. Now, when you come out of your time of prayer, when the timer goes off, a good thing to do is to say the Our Father prayer slowly. And then the next thing you do after that is to go to a different place in your house, or if you're outside, a different place in your garden or wherever you are, from the place that you've actually prayed in. And you're going to journal briefly for 2 to 3 minutes max, jotting down 2 sentences, 2 to 3 sentences max, and that's it. If you go for longer than 2 or 3 minutes and 2 or 3 sentences, that's a red flag to stop, because what that means is that you're starting to analyze your time with God, and that is the very last thing you should do when you leave this kind of prayer. Now you return to your daily chores, and you'll find that what this prayer has achieved, and this is one of the big benefits that I talked about, is that it tunes your spiritual antenna very much more sharply to what God wants to tell you outside of the time of prayer. That's a huge benefit.